We're going to continue our conversation in the book of Esther. Many of you should have received a fill-in for notes. If you don't have a fill-in, please just raise your hand and someone will get one to you. We got a few here and a few here. So if you can help us with that, that would be great. And just as Sister Nedra's coming around, just keep your hands up so she will know who to give that to this morning. Praise God. Praise God. The title of today's message is The Time Is Now. Everyone say, The Time Is Now. The Time Is Now. I've been thinking a lot about what's happening around our world, and certainly been thinking about the scripture that we're going to dive in today. And I think that this is a perfect title for this. I don't know what you're going through in your life or what you're experiencing, but my prayer and my desire and my declaration this morning is that the time is now. When I was a younger man, I remember there was an old song that was either late 80s or early 90s that talked about how it was a song called The Living Years. And the song talked about how a man wished he would have had time to tell his dying dad, who eventually died, before he could talk to him. He wished he would have had just one more moment to tell his dad that he loved him and he thanked him for all that he did. And so the song is a sad song where he's talking about, I wish I would have told him that I loved him in the living years. Everyone say, the time is now. After everything that my family and certainly this church experienced with Pastor Joanne, one of the messages that God's put inside of me deeply, and for those of you who don't know, about 3.5 years ago, a pastor in this church who happened to be my wife, a woman named Joanne, died tragically during childbirth. And by God's grace, the baby lived and she is here and alive today, and I'm so thankful. And for those of you who have not heard her sounds and her laughter and her running all over the place, you will if you stick around for a little bit. Because she's everywhere. But in the midst of all that has happened, one of the things that God has taught me in the midst of all the pain afterwards of suffering and grieving for my wife who had died at the time, God reminded me, nothing matters more than having peace with me and making sure that you're right with me, because we went to the hospital to have a child and we lost mommy. And we did not expect that. We didn't know what was going to happen. And so in any given moment, my encouragement to you and to myself is make sure that our connection with God, we have peace with God, and then we have peace with other people. And sometimes we say, well, someday I'll forgive them. Someday I'll tell them thank you for what they did. Someday I'll get things right in this relationship. Everyone say, the time is now. The time is now. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the life will look like tomorrow and the following day. We don't know about hurricanes and earthquakes. We do not know. And because of all this, we don't know the wars that might be coming. We don't know the violence that we could experience. We don't know the things that could happen. The time is now. In this story, we have followed our hero, Queen Esther, who was a village girl who became a queen overnight. She happened to be Jewish, but everyone told her, and her uncle especially, Mordecai, told her, do not tell anybody that you're a Jewish woman. And so she elevates to the position of queen of this kingdom, the Persian kingdom, but nobody knew that she was a Jewish woman. And in the midst of that, there was a man named Haman who got angry at her uncle, Mordecai, and her uncle happened to be a Jewish man. And Haman told himself, and he said to himself, I had a bad experience with a man from a certain race. Listen, I had a bad experience with a man from a certain ethnicity. And because I had a bad experience with him, now I'm going to believe in my mind that everyone from that ethnicity is the same. We don't do that, do we? And not only that, I'm going to believe that everyone from that ethnicity is the same, and I want him dead, and I want his entire people dead. I want to kill all the Jews in this kingdom. And so the background story, the situation is, this queen has been elevated to queen of this empire, and her uncle is working at the gates, but there is an evil, a wicked man, a wickedness happening, trying to destroy these people. In the midst of that, Queen Esther has a conversation with Mordecai, and he says to her, maybe you were born for such a time as this. And I want to encourage you this morning again. Maybe you are here in 2017, in the family that you're in, praise God. In the work, in the job that you're in the difficult situation that you may or may not be in, but maybe you're there for such a time as this, and maybe there's something that God wants to do through you that he could not do through anyone else. And so her uncle tells her, Esther, don't be afraid. Maybe you could become queen for such a time as this so that you could save our people. And through lots of different things that have happened, and we've talked about it in the last few weeks, if you're interested, some of that we have recorded online, if you're interested in hearing some of the previous messages. It gets to a place where she has to face the king, go in to see the king, and while she sees the king, he has to stretch out his scepter to say, I welcome you. And the first thing that he says to her is, listen, before I hear anything that you have to say, whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. How many of you would like that when you walk into the bank, right? You know, you walk up to the teller, and before you say anything, the manager comes up and is like, hey, Louis, listen, whatever you want, it's yours. Man, that's pretty good. I'll give you up to half of the money that we have in our bank. That's basically what the king told Esther. He saw her coming. He said, hey, listen, quit Esther. I don't know what you're asking for, but I'll give you anything you want, up to half my kingdom. And so she asks for him, the king, and this wicked man, Haman, who was second in command to the king at the moment, who had orchestrated not only the death of his enemy, but the death of all the Jewish people. It was coming. It was set on the calendar. On this day, he had duped and he had tricked the king into agreeing to sign a law that would, in essence, destroy all the Jewish people in the kingdom. And that was coming. That was the background of our situation. And when the king asked Esther, what do you want me to do? She said, I want you to come to a banquet once, and I want you to come to a banquet twice with Haman. And with that in mind, we pick up our story here. The first scripture, chapter 7, verse 1. So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet. Went to Queen Esther's banquet. The first fill-in that I want to say today is, realize we never know what the next moment may bring. Realize we never know. That's the word there. Never know what the next moment may bring. This is a fascinating part of the story, because Haman is expecting to go to a party like he had done the night before. I wonder if he was thinking, what the queen is going to say. Maybe she'll say something good about me. They were about to walk into a situation that will alter the course of history for the Jews and the Persian Empire. In this banquet, eventually, you'll see in a moment, Esther is going to ask for the salvation of her people. But Haman didn't know that, and the king didn't know that. And Haman, this wicked man, was going to the banquet, was going to the party, just like he had before. And we have to realize, in your life and mine, that we don't know what the next moment will bring. We don't know what the circumstances are. Realize we never know what the next moment may bring. So be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. Could it be that some of us will be going to a party, a banquet, an event, thinking everything is normal and the same, but it's going to change everything? I believe that people who walked into the Twin Towers on 9/11 probably thought, I'm just going to go in, I'm going to work, I'm going to do what I normally do, because they didn't expect something different to happen. Personally, on the day that we walked into the hospital, we were expecting to have a child and go home rejoicing, but that moment changed our lives forever. On this second occasion, while they were drinking wine, the king said to Esther, tell me what you want. You see, saying it again. Tell me what you want, Queen Esther. What is your request? I will give it to you, even if it is half the kingdom. The second feeling is, realize God's favor is available for every moment. So be praying. God's favor is available for every moment. So be praying. We've already seen Queen Esther stand before the king, and he's saying, I'll give you whatever you want, even before I know what it is. And he said it twice, and now this is the third time. He's saying, Esther, please, whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. As followers of Jesus, oftentimes people will either be living in fear or in faith. A wise person said to me, fear is expecting the enemy to do something. Faith is expecting God to do something. Amen? And oftentimes we're living in fear of this and fear of that. And there are some things that are fearful things. But our lives as followers of Jesus must be lived in faith. Everyone say faith. Because when we believe and we trust, we open up the door for God's favor in our lives. The favor of God can cause people to see you differently than they've ever seen you before. The favor of God can open up doors for you, i.e., I haven't even said anything, and this person's already telling me, whatever you want, it's yours. Queen Esther was experiencing this. Realize God's favor is available for this moment, for every moment. I'm curious about the line in that first part there of that verse that says, on this second occasion, this second banquet. The first one happened the night before, but not all occasions are the same. Not all banquets are the same. Haman went to the first banquet and left feeling, man, I'm awesome, I'm cool. This queen invited me to the banquet and now I'm going again. But he did not know that the second banquet, the results are going to be different than the first one. But God's favor was over Queen Esther. While they were drinking wine, the king again repeats, tell me what you want. Do you know that Jesus would often go into villages and places and he would see a person that's blind, and Jesus would look at someone that's blind, and somebody would come up to Jesus and kind of try to get his attention, and Jesus would say this curious thing. Clearly the person was blind, and Jesus would say, what do you want me to do for you? Isn't that something? Jesus, I'm blind. I can't see. That's what I want you to fix. But there's something about God asking. Of course, here it's the king asking Queen Esther. But I think if God were to ask you, if the King of Kings were to ask you, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say to him? I don't want you to answer. I want you to think about it. What would you say to the Lord? Jesus asked that question of the blind man and many others. The king is asking that question of Esther here. His favor was available for every moment. Queen Esther replied, if I have found favor with the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people will be spared. And the scripture says that Queen Esther was very clear about what she wanted. Realize the importance of clarity in the moment. Realize the importance of clarity in the moment. Be ready. Be ready. What is it that you would want God to do for you? Realize the importance of being clear. She first answered, I want you to come to a banquet with me. Then she answered the same thing a second time. I want you to come to a banquet again. But now on this third time, in the wisdom that God had given her, she asked for the very thing that she needed. When I need salvation. I need salvation. If I have found favor with the king and it pleases the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people will be spared. Will you spare us? Who would do such a thing? King Xerxes demanded. Who would be so presumptuous as to touch you? Esther replied, this wicked Haman is our adversary and our enemy. Haman grew pale with fright before the king and the queen. I want you to notice something. Haman had been working, orchestrating how to destroy this man, Mordecai, because he hated him and he hated everyone that looked like him, everyone from his race. He was sorry. He had been working all this out, and he seemed to be winning. Do you get frustrated when it seems like the bad guys are winning? It seems like wickedness is winning. It seems like people who don't care about the things of God, don't care about being righteous. It seems like they're making the money. It seems like they're the famous ones. And Haman was right there. He was the second in command to the king. He was planning to destroy all his people. And the king had agreed to it. And he would say, and I feel good. Because everything was going fine. Until this moment, who would do such a thing? The king asked Esther. They're in this banquet. They're on the table. And the queen is there. And the king is there. And Haman is there. Haman's thinking everything's fine. And she's telling her, someone's trying to kill me and my people. And the king says, who would do that? And she says, this wicked man. Up until that moment, everything had been going right for him. realize there will be a moment when all the truth comes out. So be careful. Realize there will come a moment when all the truth comes out. All the truth comes out. All the truth comes out. One of the gifts that God's given me after experiencing the pain of losing my bride at the time. For those of you who don't know, I just recently remarried to a wonderful lady who's actually taking care of our babies right now in the nursery. Amy, she's a beautiful, wonderful woman, and God is restoring. And it's a new season for my family and for the church. Amen? The Bible says, weeping may last for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. Amen? And so I believe that there are different seasons, and I don't know what season you are going through today. But here's what I know. I know that we are finite people, and because I don't know what the next moment will bring, because I don't know what's going on, here's how I want to live my life. I want to live my life openly and transparently. I want to live my life crystal clarity, so that there are no secrets, there are no skeletons in the closet, because I recognize that there will come a moment. I could get away with things like Haman for a season. I can get away with sexual immorality for a season. I can get away with an addiction that nobody else knows for a season. I can get away with cheating on my spouse for a season. I can get away with being a nasty, angry person to my kids for a season. But there will come a moment when all the truth comes out. And this was Haman's moment. He was sitting there, and the queen was saying, this guy is the one who's doing this. Then the king jumped to his feet in a rage and went out into the palace garden. Haman, however, stayed behind to plead for his life with Queen Esther, for he knew that the king intended to kill him. He knew that the king intended to kill him. We have to realize the right moment to make amends. We have to realize the right moment to make amends. Be proactive. That's the next one. Realize the right moment to make amends. The time to make amends for followers of Jesus, for the world, for humanity, here's the time. The time that there's two kind of important benchmarks and moments that you and I have time to make amends until this moment. Number one is until we die. Once we die, that's it. We don't have time to do anything. We don't have time to repent after we die. We don't have time to get things right when we die. And we hope that we live it. Listen, my prayer for you is that you live to be 175 years old. Amen? That's my prayer for you. But one of the benchmarks is we have time to make amends until we die. And the other one that we all look forward to as a church worldwide is when Jesus comes back for his church. You say, Pastor, do you really believe that? It's in the Bible, so I believe it. Absolutely. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe His Word is my manual for life. And His Word says that you and I have time to make amends. Another way to say it, you and I have time to repent. You and I have time to get things right. You and I have time to fix the relationship. You and I have time to ask for forgiveness. You and I have time to extend forgiveness to those who have hurt you. Until a certain moment. And I believe that maybe, could it be that Haman would have been able to get out of his situation that he's going to, you're going to see what his situation was in a moment. If he had taken early on and said, you know what, I've got to change the way I see this man. I've got to talk to him. I've got to say I'm sorry for the way I've treated you. I've got to let my heart get right when it comes to other ethnicities. And I have to allow God to heal me and do something in me. The time for making amends was back then, but now the king is there, the queen is there, and she said, this is the guy, this wicked Haman. And it says, he stayed behind to plead for his life with the queen. Can you imagine this? He recognized he's going to die. And he's pleading his life for his life with the queen. The Bible says that you and I will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's an intimidating, sometimes thought that I don't want to think about too much. When I'm doing well with God, yay, I'm going to be judged by God. When I'm not doing well, oh man, I want to hide somewhere. Right? All of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says. And the time to get things right so that what we hear from Christ, what we hear from our God is, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come in to heaven. Come into the place I have prepared for you. Come into the place where you will now call home. Where there's no tears and no pain. That's what we want to hear. But what we can do, the only way we can affect that moment before God is now. Everyone say, the time is now.
The time is now.
The time is now to get things right with God. The time is now to ask for forgiveness, to receive it. The time is now to let go of your addiction. But I've tried to let go of it, and nothing's working. I've tried, and I always come back to it. My prayer for you is twofold. One is that you will open up your heart to God and trust Him to make a difference inside of your heart. Amen? Because God is the one that can transform you from the inside. I can't do it. No one else can, but God can. And do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to be free, because the time is now. The right moment to make amends. Be proactive. Proactive means I think about what could happen and I take precaution. When my baby was born, Sarah, she was an infant, and I was left with my daughter and my boy Daniel. He was 7 years old at the time when my late wife passed. And I remember thinking, I have no idea how to take care of this baby. And I also remember that, okay, you know what? We need milk in the house. Okay, we need milk. Okay, so what do we do? Just me, my son, and my daughter. We need milk. What do we do? Okay, we got to go to the store. Okay, so we need the car. The car seat is in the car. Okay, we can go. But before we go, wait. But I need to get a bag for the baby, because if something happens on the way to the store and her diapers, we got problems. And so I need to prepare. I need to think that before I get to the store, I need to get diapers and maybe have milk, because she might get hungry, and have whatever I need. Listen, this is just to go next door to 7-Eleven. Are you with me? I mean, this was just my struggle. You can pray for me. The Lord's taught me a thing or two. FYI, she is alive, so we're good. We made it, okay? But the idea is that before I went somewhere, I had to prepare and think through and be proactive. What's it, proactive? So that we can have a successful trip to the store. And if something came up, we were ready for it. We were ready for it. Listen, the scriptures, the word of God tells us that there will come a time when you and I will pass from this earth, or when Jesus comes back. And at that moment, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What does that mean? That means that my life today and now, on Sunday, today, I have an opportunity to get things right with God and get things right with people, so that I can be prepared no matter what happens. See, oftentimes people who are living in fear all the time are living in fear because they feel like they're not ready. They're not ready for the next step. They're not ready to meet God. They haven't said everything they had to say to their family. They're not ready. Be proactive. In despair, he, meaning Haman, fell on the couch where Queen Esther was reclining, just as the king was returning from the palace garden. The king exclaimed, "Will he even assault the queen right here in the palace before my very eyes?" And as soon as the king spoke, his attendants covered Haman's face, signaling his doom. Then Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs, said, "Haman has set up a sharpened pole that stands 75 feet tall." 10 seconds on this, because I spoke about this last week. Haman, before he came to this second banquet, was so angry at Mordecai, and I'm just thinking of being Mordecai today, brother. He was so angry at Mordecai that Haman had said, "I'm the second in command. I'm going to build a 75-foot pole, and I'm going to do something gruesome to Haman. I'm going to kill him on it. I'm going to impale him on that." Because he thought that life was just going to continue normal. Everything was going to be fine. And now he finds himself in this predicament. The queen has accused him of trying to kill her and her people. Then Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs, said, "Haman has set up a sharpened pole." How many of you guys like sharpened poles? I don't. As a kid, I would decide if I want to climb a fence or not based on how sharp the top was, right? Nobody likes sharpened poles. It's 75 feet tall in his own courtyard. Listen to this. He, Haman, intended to use it to impale Mordecai, the man who saved the king from assassination. And the king said, "Then impale Haman on it," the king ordered. Realize eventually all the wrongs will be made right in a moment. Be clear. I'm just going to take a moment to talk about this because nobody likes this stuff in the Bible, right? Nobody likes the fact that people, even bad people, are killed in gruesome ways. Honestly, I don't like it. Okay? But here's why I want you to think about this. Haman was told, you're going to go and you're going to be killed in this place, this pole. And the scripture says, so they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai, and the king's anger subsided. And I'm not going to get into the details of this killing, but it is a gruesome way to die. Nobody wants to die this way. So I was thinking about this as I knew I was going to come and talk to you guys about it. So like, how do I tell them that the end of the story, even though this wicked man is kind of like a Hitler-type man, and if you know the story of Adolf Hitler in World War II and the Holocaust, you know that Hitler orchestrated the killing of millions and millions and millions of babies, of mommies, of granddaddies and grandmas, Jewish people all over Europe and other places. And so there's something right in our mind maybe about the justice done to the wicked person. And so the king says, I want you to impale Haman on this. But here's a thought that I have. Could you imagine if Mordecai was there? And would you mind standing for a second? Okay. Thanks, man. Let's give Anthony a hand for being a good sport, man. He didn't know. He didn't know, so thank you. So imagine that is the 75-foot pole. Okay? It's 75-foot, it's sharpened, and I'm being taken. I'm Haman. I'm being taken. You can stay there for a second, Mordecai. I'm being taken to this place. And can you imagine if Mordecai, who was a righteous man, who has done things right, he did right by Queen Esther, he had done everything right, he comes over, and he says to the king and the guards, I'll take this place. Can you say that?
I'll take this place.
And could you imagine if in the place of Haman, wicked Haman, the man who wanted the destruction of all the Jews, and Mordecai said, I'll take this place. And not only did he say it, but he can walk over to that. And the guards take Mordecai and impale him instead of Haman. I want you to think about that. Go ahead and sit down. Let's give him another hand. Here's the reality of our human situation. All wicked men and women that should have gone to the 75-foot pole, someone came. Listen. The Bible tells a story that a righteous man, even more righteous than Mordecai, came and interrupted the walk to the pole. And that righteous man said, I'm going to take the punishment for all the wicked people. That righteous man said, no, you're not going to take it. I'm going to take it upon myself. And the Bible says that the Roman soldiers led Jesus to a place called Calvary. And if you think that being impaled is bad, crucifixion is the most gruesome death that you can possibly imagine. And I want you to think, as you're thinking, well, why did Haman get killed like that? I want you to understand that the gospel, the reason for the good news, is that one came who took the place of everyone that should have been destroyed on that pole, and he himself went up on the tree. And the Bible says they nailed his hands and his feet, and they put a sword to his side, and he had done nothing wrong. Jesus took the place of the wicked men and women. Jesus took the place of all of humanity. The Bible says all have sinned. You say, I'm not like Haman. I've never done anything like that. I'm not like Hitler. The scripture says all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. That means that if we're not perfect, we don't get to be in God's glory. And that imperfection and the lying and the sinning and the addictions and the cover-up and the greed and trying to fix everything for ourselves and the selfishness and the self-righteous living and all of that, we were doomed to that 75-foot pole. And Jesus came in front of me. And he said, Lewis, I'm going to take the punishment that was due for you. The cross gives us a picture that is unimaginable, that Jesus would walk in front of Haman and say, I'm going to take the punishment. So even someone as wicked as Haman could in one moment say, cry out to Jesus and repent of their sins and be made right. Realize in that moment in Calvary, Jesus took all the punishment the wicked deserved. Be amazed by that. Be amazed by that. Be amazed by that. The time is now to realize what Jesus has done for you. The time is now to realize that someone took your place, and the only people that end up condemned eternally away from God are people who see Jesus on that tree, struggling, in pain, bleeding, and understand that they see what he's done for them, and they walk away and say, I don't believe that, I don't care about that. Those are the only people who are eternally separated from God. But those of us who have seen Jesus on the cross and understand that he's taking what I deserve and all the sin, all the stuff in my life, all the negative stuff, all the depression, all the ugliness, he's taking it upon himself, and we realize that, and we bow our knee and we say, you are the King. I give my life to you. You gave your life for me, so now my life is going to be lived for you. Those who follow Jesus for the rest of their lives get to spend eternity with him. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to get things right with? Before you die, before Jesus comes back, make sure you have peace with God and peace with your family, peace with the people in your life, even people who have hurt you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the perfect example of one who did nothing wrong, who never hurt anyone, but always healed, always poured out for others. And even as that, you sacrificed for all of us. And we're so thankful for that this morning. God, thank you for reminding us that we can't just assume that tomorrow is going to be the same as yesterday and the next day and the next day. We don't know what will happen. Help us to be prepared. Help us to be praying, communicating with you. We need your favor. Help us to be careful, because all of our secrets eventually will come out. Help us to be proactive, to repent and be humble and make amends to you, with you and with people. Help us to be clear that you're going to make all things right. There will come a day when nothing will be hidden and you will make all things new. And Father, help us to be amazed at the fact that through the cross, you stretch out your hands and your feet, and you were nailed to the cross, and there was a sword pierced through your side, and then nails on your feet, so that we could have life, so that we would be spared. And we're so thankful for that this morning. If you're here today and you need to do business with God, you need to get things right with the Lord, every eye closed and head bowed, between you and the Lord, just raise your hand and say, hey, Pastor, that's me, pray for me. Amen. God bless you. Sister over here. And it was, this is between you and the Lord. This is God business. This is business between the one that you're going to face on that day when we will face the judgment seat of Christ. And we want to get things right with him. Amen. God bless you, brother in the back. God bless you, sister over here. God bless you, brother in the back. Lord, I pray for these who are raising up their hands right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray that your love and your grace would touch their minds and their hearts even now. Let them know that you love them, that they matter to you, God, that you gave your life for them. Thank you, God, for these beloved men and women who are saying, I want to reconnect with God today. Today. You may put your hands down. If you're here today and you know you need to get things right again with God, you know that you've been distant with the Lord and you want to come back to him, I'm just going to give you one more opportunity to say, pray for me. Every eye closed and head bowed. Or would you lift up your hand and say, you know what? Our relationship with the Lord is cool. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you. Father, I pray for these who have lifted up their hands by your Holy Spirit, that you would touch them and fill them and draw them closer to you. God, I pray for all of us that you would empower us, that you would help us to be prepared, Father, to be a praying men and women, to be ready for what is coming, to be careful in how we live, to be proactive and understand what's coming ahead of us, God, to be amazed at your cross. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you.